Hey, good morning, everybody. Hey, it's good to see you. Thanks for being here today. Hey, if you're visiting with us, thanks for coming out and joining us. Thanks for taking some time to worship on a Sunday morning with us. If there's anything that we can do, make sure that you tap on the shoulder of the person next to you. If they're visiting with you, just tap on the next shoulder. You're going to get somebody from First Baptist at some point in time there. We want to help you as best we can on this thing for sure. Hey, as we talk about how great God is, one of those ways that we engage and we celebrate God's goodness to us, you notice the windows are open, right? We know what that means. We've got baptism going on today, so it's going to be a good day, right? We want to thank the Lord for that. We praise Him for that. You guys are going to hear testimony from a guy named Chris here in just a little bit. Chris is one of our Fort Lewis guys, came to know Christ a couple years ago, and he's got a sweet story on how God moved and worked in his life, and we're going to celebrate in his big step of worship and obedience by getting baptized. We get to worship with him in that, and we're absolutely fired up about that. My only question is, who's next, right? I mean, the windows are open. I mean, you guys think I'm joking. You know, Matt's got nothing going on until the next set of music plays, so you could meet with him, all right? And we could just baptize like the rest of the morning, and that'd be okay with me. But if you've never taken that step of obedience and followed him in that act and been baptized, would you talk with one of us? I mean, let me just say, I mean, as clearly as I can, it's the simplest way that you're ever going to truly obey and worship God. God's just laid it out there for you, all right? And I believe this too, and this is not anything in Scripture, but I mean, it's just my interaction and experience with folks over the years, is that, man, if we don't take that step of faith, we don't take that step of obedience is what it is, and follow Him in that, there's almost like there's this ceiling that's put over us on that thing. There's all, you know, that we grow to a certain level, and it's not like God quits on us. It isn't based, our salvation's not based on whether or not we get baptized or not. But the fact of the matter is, there's that commitment to Him that says, you know what, I'm going to hear your word, I'm going to respond to it, and I'm going to make that public declaration for my good and for the glory of your name, God. And all it does is it blows the roof open for us to do that over and over and over again, okay? And so I just want to encourage you, if you've never done that, why don't you pray about that? Yeah, if you need to talk with somebody, grab Matt or Gary, myself, one of our elders, man, we'd be more than happy to talk with you about that. And I've said this over and over, and I will continue. Man, if the windows are open every week, I don't think anybody's complaining, right? I mean, I think if we had to baptize every week, we'd make all kinds of arrangements for that, and that'd be amazing, all right? I want to invite you, if you would, take your Bibles. Let's go to Genesis chapter 2 this morning. We start a new series this morning. Pretty fired up about this, excited. I'm excited for on at least a couple of different levels. The first is I'm that good excited. You know, it's a new series. I'm excited to be able to talk about marriage a little bit with you. And we're not going to spend just our time on marriage. We'll talk about singleness. We'll talk about the gift of sex that God's given us. We'll cover that over the next 9 weeks. I'm super fired up about that. I think God has a lot to share with us that way. But I'm also kind of excited in that freaked out kind of way too, in the sense that, you know, there's a really good chance that I'm going to say something amazingly offensive in the next 8 or 9 weeks, okay? And my prayer is that God would help me in such a way to minimize the dumb things that I could say, okay? I'm going to say some dumb things, but and you guys already know that. But the fact is I'm asking Him to minimize that. And it just, golly, it's such an incredible gift that God's given us. Just want to make sure I draw the picture right. You know what I'm saying? So that's it with that. And this is where y'all get to play, all right? And I'm just going to throw this out. I did it in the first service. I'll do it here again too. I'm looking for a little help over the next 8 or 9 weeks, all right? And the first side is this. I need about 4 or 5 of you who'd say, you know what, Jeff, I'm going to pray with you every week. I want an update. I want to communicate with you, and I want to pray for this series. Because I think God has some serious work that He wants to do in our midst, okay? He wants to strengthen some marriages. He wants to prepare some people for marriage. He wants to revolutionize the way we see marriage. And we want to, you know, the series title I've given it, and you're going to be tired of this word by about 8 weeks from now. And it's profound, mean, we don't get it. These gifts that God gives us, they're profound. Right? This isn't just some like something that you just buy off the internet. You know, you found a deal on Craigslist and you just kind of grab it and go. This is profound what God has done. And I could use some folks to pray with me. Folks, let's just be straight on this for a minute, okay? God does an amazing, you know, I mean, God gave us this amazing gift of marriage. Satan does an amazing job of attacking it. All the time. Okay? We can't mess with this. And so that's why I'm asking if y'all pray with me. And if that's you, if you're saying, man, I can pray with you. I mean, all I'm asking for is your email address and your name, and just write on there, I'll pray with you. Put it on a card, put it on a sheet of paper, give it to me after the service, put it on Linda's desk. And what I'll do is every week I'm just going to send you an email, kind of giving you an update, and I'm just asking you guys to pray with me, okay? The second thing is I'm looking to, for about four or five of you, and again, here's the deal. If you watch after the service and you're counting, you know, and you get to five and you're number six, it's okay. You know, God can handle, you know, more than 10 people praying. I mean, he really can. He's got high capacity that God does. He really does. Don't hold back. But I could use about four or five folks who play within a dream team situation for me, all right, which this is what you do, all right, via email. I want to give you the topics that I'm going to talk about. I want you to interact with me. I want you to give me your impressions, what you think about when you hear about, you know, whatever topic we're going to cover. I want your impression on it. I want you to give me scripture. I want you to, you know, maybe you read something. You, there's a quote, there's an article, there's a book you read. And there's something, it doesn't mean I'm going to use it in a sermon, but it keeps my mind moving. Does that make sense? And if that's you, just put down the same deal. I need your name, I need an email address, and just, I'll dream with you. Send it to me, all right, give it to me. And I want you to play with me on this thing. It'll be absolutely fantastic. I think this is going to be a great 8 or 9 weeks for our church. I think it'll be absolutely fantastic. All right, so that's how you can play. And I would like you to do that, if you would, with me, okay? We come and we talk about marriage. We're going to read a little bit of scripture and pray this morning. We got some ground to cover for sure. We got to get to that baptism today. But let me say this. Everybody knows when we talk about marriage, the statistics are out there, right? About 50% of all marriages end in divorce is what the statistics tell us. Here's the amazing thing. Over the last 5 years for sure, maybe as many as 10, but 5 years for sure, that number is dropping, okay? And that number is dropping at an even higher rate amongst evangelical believers, okay? Now, again, from 50 to 45, it isn't like we can all sit and pop our jersey and say, oh, tide has turned, okay? But the fact of the matter is, one of the things that I'm excited about is the fact that there's a generation of folks getting married in their 20s and early 30s right now that are saying, I'm getting married for serious on this. Not playing. Not jacking around on this deal. I'm in. And I take God seriously with what he says about marriage. I love that fact. And the reason why I know that is, I mean, I sit across the table from these folks, okay? The divorce statistic is concerning. This is what really drives me. There's another statistic that drives and motivates me even more than the divorce statistic. And that is that if statistics are true this morning, about 72 or 73% of you married folk here are dissatisfied in your marriage. That statistic gets me. Okay? Dissatisfied. I mean, you if truth be told, if your mail was to get read this morning, 70-some percent of the marriages here would say that they're dissatisfied. It's too amazing of a gift. It's too big of a blessing to have that be the truth of the matter. And that is what drives this series for me, okay? All right? And so we're going to read a little scripture, set the stage, and then we're going to lay a little foundation work, and then we're going to dive in, and we're going to see what God has to say for us this morning. All right? But look at verse 18, Genesis chapter 2. It says, then the Lord God said, it is not good for man to be alone. I will make him a helper suitable for him. Out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the sky and brought them to the man to see what he would call them. And whatever the man called the living creature, that was its name. The man gave names to all the cattle, to the birds of the sky, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper suitable for him. So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs, and he closed up the flesh at that place. The Lord God fashioned into a woman the rib which he had taken from the man and brought her to the man. And the man said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." And the man and his wife were both naked and were not ashamed. Why don't you pray with me? Father, we need you to speak to us this morning. God, we acknowledge, we proclaim, Father, we declare that you are good and you are great. Father, we thank you for your salvation that you've given us through the work of Jesus. Father, we thank you that you've given us your Holy Spirit that dwells within us to lead us and to guide us and to convict us and to transform us to be the men and women you want us to be. Father, we praise you for that. But Father, together today we confess. Father, we confess to you that we don't hold marriage in honor and in esteem in the manner in which you intended it to be. Father, we just acknowledge, Father, we don't even play the game with you this morning. We just acknowledge that we're part of another generation that's taken this amazing gift, this miraculous gift you've given us. And Father, we play fast and loose with it. And Father, we ask for your forgiveness. And God, I want to pray for the marriages that are represented this morning. Father, I pray for your great hand of activity there. I pray for renewal. I pray, Father, that there would be growing enjoyment. Father, that there'd be growing closeness and growing companionship there. And Father, that you would use the families represented in this place, Father, for the glory of your name. Father, I'd ask too that over the next number of weeks that you would speak to us directly what we need to know, what we need to take away about these great gifts that you've given us. Father, that you would transform us and change us in that for our good and for the glory of your name. And God, my prayer simply this morning is that as only you can do, elevate the way we see marriage today to a place where it's never been in our life. So that when we walk out of this building, Father, we're different than when we came in. And we want to do that for the glory of your name. And we thank you and we praise you because we can. In the great name of Jesus, amen. All right, here's a few ground rules real quick. All right, number one, I'm not a guru, all right, on marriage. As a matter of fact, there's a ton of fear and trembling even standing up in front of you, all right? Because, you know, Danica and I, we've been married a whole 14 years, right? So, I mean, that makes us exactly qualified to go listen to somebody who's been married 30 years, okay? That's exactly what it does, all right? I'm absolutely thankful for my wife. I'm thankful for our marriage. It's way better than I could have ever imagined it to be. And, you know, just as you guys pray for us and think about us, man, your prayers for our marriage, man, we covet them like crazy. 15 years is coming right around the corner for us, and, you know, we're excited about that. But I just want you to know, I mean, when I talk about marriage, 15 is kind of a big deal for me in the fact that my mom and dad didn't make it to 15. Okay? And when I talk, and so to kind of give you my background on where I'm coming from when we talk about marriage is that outside of me becoming a Christ follower at 17, the single most formative event that happened in my growing up time was my mom and dad divorcing when I was 13. And I remember every minute of it. I remember the April day, they sat me down in the living room to let me know that dad wasn't coming back. It was raining outside. And I remember. My mom and dad sat on the couch, I sat on the chair. I remember this. Okay. Had such an impact in my life, I was convinced I was never getting married. I wasn't going to do that. Wasn't going there. Okay. And I want to say this. I mean, I'm going to say a number of things over the next 7-8 weeks that will talk some about that experience. I've talked with my mom and dad about that in this series and let them know that I am going to talk openly. But that it's not to come and take a shot at them, you know, some kind of passive-aggressive shot at my mom and dad 25 years later. My mom and dad are good. Our relationship with them is good. And I'll say this. I give them all the credit in the world for this. As far as they could handle that divorce situation with me and my sister, I give them an A. I mean, they handled it as well as I think you could ever handle something like that. Okay? The fact is, I still remember it like it was yesterday. And it still affects me today. Especially when like your little 4-year-old daughter looks at you when you're driving home from a visit at Christmas and she says, "Daddy, why does Grandpa Dobish not live with Grandma Dobish?" And that's a big deal. And you try to have help a four-year-old put those pieces together, right? Okay. So I wasn't going to get married. I had a guy who mentored me after I became a Christ follower, who taught me that this relationship with God that we had changes things, right? And he says, Jeff, you are under no obligation to have a relationship like it's been modeled to you by your parents and those in your family. All right? We generationally have divorces in our family. Okay? You're a new creature. You're a new creation, Jeff. All things are new. And you know, I hope you buy that this morning, folks. We got to get that piece, right? All things are new because of the work of Jesus, okay? And so that thing you're holding on to in your past, doesn't matter what it is. Man, this is a parenthesis for a second. Man, get a hold of this. God changes things. Man, he didn't just come into your life to give you a little warm fuzzy over a 45-minute window on a Sunday morning. Man, he came in to absolutely make you something different. That's the business he's in, and he does that, okay? Man, and there was complete confidence to know that my wife and I, if we walk with the Lord on this thing, we can turn a tide, you know, in a family. That can happen by the power of God, right? And so in God's humor, right? So he teaches me that. I get married. I marry over my head, like all of us guys, all right? We marry over our head. But then in God's humor, most of my time, the bulk of my ministry time here over the last 8 years within a counseling ministry has revolved around marriages. I mean, how crazy is that for a minute, right? And not only existing marriages, but new marriages. Just counted it up. I'm just short of 60 marriages, 60 weddings I've done in the 8 years I've been your pastor, okay? And you start doing the math on that, each one of those weddings, that there's somewhere between about 10 and 12 hours worth of counseling that goes into each one of those couples, okay? I don't know why he lets me do that. I love it, though. It's absolutely fantastic, right? And so that's kind of my background, but hear me. I'm not a guru, okay? And in light of that, because of my interactions with you, either married, newlyweds, older married couples, whatever it is, if I use an illustration any point in time in the next 8 weeks that sounds an awful lot like your situation, and I've not talked with you, I'm not talking about you, okay? Please hear me on that, all right? I'm not going to air your laundry, okay, without having talked to you about it first, okay? So if it's hitting close to home and I've not talked with you, cut me a little bit of slack on that one, will you? Okay? And on top of that, when I do say something that's fairly offensive, can you give me the benefit of the doubt? Maybe you heard me wrong. Maybe I did twist my words. But will you do this with me? All right, because this is what I want us to do. Man, if there's something I'm sharing from the Scripture and you're going, I just don't see it that way, can we get together and talk about it? Let's just, my promise is we're just going to open the Scripture. And we're going to go back and forth over the Scripture. Because we may end at a spot where we don't completely see eye to eye, but let's end over having talked through Scripture together. Can we do that? All right? Please, let's do that for sure. Now, why the series? All right? I believe this again. Married couples, you're going to benefit from this thing. It doesn't matter if you've been married 9 minutes or 69 years, okay? I mean, there are things for us to take away from this, all right? For the number, I mean, particularly in this service, the number of folks, high school, junior high, college age, single folks, young professionals we have in our midst, hey, this is for you too. And even though we're spending 7 weeks on marriage, let me just tell you something. Man, outside of surrendering your life to Christ, the second most important decision you're ever going to make on this earth is who you marry. I'm not even joking with you. So don't play fast and loose with that. And God has some things for you to grab a hold of and to take with you. And I don't know when the timing is on all this thing for you, all right? But you got to know. And you got to know what you're looking for. You got to know what you're shooting for, all right? Because we all know this to be the case, all right? Man, when we get into a relationship and the warm fuzzy meter is like pegged, man, all kinds of things. If we don't have clear lines drawn out, man, things go out the window, don't they? So we got to know what we're looking for. All right, so this, I think there's a play for all of us here, all right? So with all that being said, and we talk about this thing, marriage is awesome. You got to get that this morning. Marriage is amazing. God did good when he did marriage. All right? So much so that he even had to say it. Right? He did marriage in Genesis 2, and he looks at it and goes, this is good. You know, and when God says something's good, it's good. All right? But with that being said and being true, one thing marriage is not is that it's not sappy sentimentalism. And we got to get a hold of that piece, man. I mean, please, that's one of the things that I'm just weary with. All right, and this is my own jaded, sinful self, and I'll have to repent for this thing. But man, going to weddings, being a part of weddings, seeing what's out there about weddings, let me just tell you, there's all kinds of cotton candy stuff that we offer up and say is marriage that is just trash. All right, and any of you who've been married, again, more than last weekend, okay, you already know that to be the case, right? You already know that you just entered into the hardest thing that you've ever done in your life. It's really true, isn't it? Man, there are moments where you're sitting at your... maybe you don't struggle with this. You have those moments, you're driving to work, or you're looking at yourself in the mirror, and you're just going, what am I doing? Okay? What am I doing? I mean, that realization in your marriage, whatever year it was, it's different for everybody, where you're forgiving your spouse for the same thing, and the counter has rolled over. I mean, you don't even know what number it is anymore, and you're just going, you know, and if it's like us, Danica and I, we're going, okay, wait a minute, we're 35, doing the math. I got 40 more years of this forgiveness. And we're going, what are we thinking? Right? Okay, we're laughing on this thing. It's true, though. Marriage is a gob of work. It's a ton of work. I mean, I tell the couples I meet with that part of my job is to try to scare them a little bit. Man, they're in love. They're holding hands. Man, it's amazing. Picking out flowers, doing these things. Man, my job is to scare them. And there is just no way to draw the proper picture of scaredom to them, okay? With that, I mean, folks, we've boiled down marriage and we've made it into something that it's just not. And we wonder why people then hit like a bump and they just go, Done. I just got the wrong package. Right? There's just been a mistake on delivery on this thing. Right? And we look at this thing, it is so much more than what we draw it out to be. It is so much deeper than we make it out to be on this. Folks, marriage is awesome. But please, please, while there are moments of romance, it is not primarily sentimental. Just isn't. And that's what makes it even better. That's why it's way better than we draw it out to be. All right? And so my job this morning, as we come and we look at marriage, okay, is to kind of raise your view of marriage, okay? To give you a reminder of what's behind marriage. Now, if you ever put a puzzle together, right? Anybody, I mean, it's not like necessarily not what a lot of people do anymore, sit around and put puzzles together. But remember when you do puzzles, you know, if your mom and dad weren't messing with you and they were actually trying to be real good to you, they'd tell you, hey, put the border together first, right? Because if your mom and dad were really just cruel, they would have just not given you the border pieces and just said, have fun, you know, all right? And you can build a puzzle without the border, but it sure works better once the border is in place, right? Okay? We got to build a border today. We really do. We got to build the border, and we got to take a look at it this way before we jump in and we get into the inner workings of marriage. Because this morning, as we look at this thing, we're going to find out it's an amazingly profound puzzle. It's a profound puzzle, and without that border piece in place, man, we are in a world of hurt. Okay, we're asking for a whole lot more work than we even need to bring on. All right. So what I want to do is I want us to jump in here. We want to look at this passage. We're going to start with the border. Okay. And what we see is when we're talking about the border, this is God's framework, all right? Hear me. We cannot play fast and loose with this. We like to do it all the time. I mean, we like to go, I don't really like this last border piece here. It doesn't really fit my style. I'm going to take this other piece because I think it looks better, and we shove it in there. You ever do that with a puzzle too? It's like, this looks pretty darn close, and you squeeze that thing in there, right? We do that. We need to build with God's pieces the way he has this thing laid out for us if we're going to truly get what he means by marriage. Let me share with you, if I can, what marriage isn't this morning, all right? You guys could probably add to this list, but here's some thoughts, all right? What marriage isn't? Marriage isn't something that was started by cavemen, okay? There's this idea out there that marriage was started by cavemen who just wanted to have a way to yank their women around and club them on the head and take them as property or something like that, okay? That's not biblical marriage, okay? Marriage also isn't only for Western culture, all right? If you spend any time getting educated at all, someone's going to look you right in the eye and says, hey, marriage was started by a bunch of white Anglo-Western European dudes to keep you ladies under our thumb, okay? Where we could look at you and say, make me a sandwich, woman, all right? Something like that, all right? That's kind of how that whole thing works, all right? Let me just tell you something. Some of you, unfortunately, have experienced something like that, and I want to tell you I'm sorry about that. Dudes, get up and make your own sandwich, okay? You've been doing it as a single guy the whole time anyway, all right? You can make a sandwich, all right? Get my point on this, all right? But we think that it was starting by Western culture to oppress women. That's not biblical marriage. Can I just tell you, when you read the scripture, if you read it in truth and with genuine authenticity, what you're going to find is that being a genuine biblical Christ follower has more regard for women than any other religious school of thought on the planet. Embrace that thing. See what I'm saying? All right, it's not just for Western culture. All right, marriage isn't just this thing that is just archaic and no longer useful. Marriage is amazingly useful, all right? And we talk about the fiber of society and the fiber of parenting kids and all. Man, marriage is absolutely vital that way. Marriage is not simply throwaway. Man, we get this idea that, man, just go kick the tile. You know, what are you doing this weekend? I don't know. What are you doing this weekend? Well, let's take a walk, get a piece of pizza, and get married, you know? I mean, let's just do something like that. We'll just try it, man. If we don't really like it, we'll chuck it. That's not marriage. This is not marriage, okay? That's not what the Bible teaches us, okay? And it's way better than man's current substitutes for marriage. I mean, this thing we're doing culturally, kind of redefining and moving the pieces around and trying to help out, that's not better. I mean, we're not helping anybody out on that, okay? As a matter of fact, man, we're just setting up our culture for more problems in that situation, okay? I mean, anytime we step outside of God's parameter for the way he's ordered things, man, we're in trouble, okay? We're in trouble on that. Beyond that, it's not based on love. Get this through our heads. Man, culturally, the way we talk about and describe love, love is like a ditch, right? You fall into it, all right? It's not love. Man, we talk about it that way. We describe it that way. It's kind of like, oh, I was in it, now I'm not. You know, I kind of, ooh, that was neat. Ah, I'm done. Okay, I'm good. We need to stop that, man. It's not based on love. I mean, again, anybody who's been married for longer than last weekend, I mean, you're just sitting here right now going, man, there are days. If it was all based on love, ain't nobody married, right? If it's just based on that thing, it's so much more than that. Let me just say this too. It's not based simply on sex, right? Man, that's what we like to say too, man. You know what? My marriage would be way better if my sex life was better. Okay. Maybe. Okay. And if it's all based on that, I mean, there comes a time in everybody's marriage relationship where that's not the predominant piece anymore. What about those folks? They're just done now? I mean, you hit like 80 or something and you just kind of tap out, right? You're just finished. It's not based on sex. And last thing too, and I say this carefully because I've done, over the last 4 or 5 years, I've probably done a half a dozen weddings where you've met, and some of you are sitting in this room, you've met via eHarmony or Match.com or something like that. Hey, and again, I'm not saying anything negative that way, all right? I mean, it's just blind dates for the current age is what it is, all right? Here's the deal. Everything's about compatibility index. That's trash. Compatibility index. Man, let me just say this. I don't care if you got 99% compatibility or 9% compatibility on this thing. Let me tell you something. God would tell you when you get married, you never marry the right person. I mean, you do and you don't all at the same time. Okay? Man, have you ever found yourself looking at your spouse going, you are not the person I'm married? Anybody? Okay? Pastor Jeff has said that. Okay? Just want you to know that. Okay? I married this really quiet little girl with a pretty smile, you know, real. Let me tell you something real quick. You know, just encouraging, sweet words, all the... Let me tell you something. She got some opinions. And she's not afraid to share them with Jeff. Okay? And I look at her at times and go, what is this? Right? And let me just say, man, we talk about this compatibility thing on that. Man, we want people to change. That means we're growing. Right? I mean, if we are Christ followers, isn't God in the business of changing us anyway? Right? I mean, we sit back at times and we start to cry and whine, and it's primarily us as guys. We do this. You know, our wives are different. They don't do this. They do this now. They don't, you know, they're different. Hey, it's so good. It's good. And before you get all too bent out of shape, guys, I mean, it's a good thing we change, because you know what? When you got married, there's a good chance you decorated your house in empty beer cans, okay? And so, I mean, it's good that you've changed and you don't do that anymore, right? Some of you are sitting there going, you got little smiles because you know it's true. You just don't want to admit it because we're in church, all right? We change, all right? We're transformed. Compatibility, that isn't marriage. What is marriage? Okay, what is it? Let me give it to you as just as succinctly as I can. Marriage is a miraculous gift. Please don't undersell that. It is a miraculous gift. Drive that point home. Marriage is a miraculous gift. Okay? With that comes companionship and service and leaving and this welding together in a choice where somebody, I mean, think about this for a minute. You talk about miraculous. You've got somebody sitting next to you who looks at you, looked at God and said, I am in with you. I choose you. I mean, wasn't that amazing? You first met your spouse and they looked at you and said, I am in with you. That's awesome. And if you're honest and true about who you are, let me tell you, that's a miracle that somebody looked at you and said, I'm in with you. And I know that to be true because that's me, right? I choose you is what they said. And I made a covenant with you, and I'm going to be obedient in that covenant. We're going to talk about covenant next week because we don't get that at all. And it is an absolute marriage. It is a picture of redemption. Don't ever miss that, all right? I did a wedding this summer for Andrew Kroll. Jessica, his beautiful wife, has her grandpa, stud. All right, this guy, I mean, if you could get 15 minutes with this guy, he'll change your life. I mean, it for sure. All right, and he stood up at their reception, at the rehearsal dinner, and he made a comment. He said, the wonderful thing about marriage and weddings is that God thinks highly of them, so much so that he started the Bible and he ends the Bible with one. Isn't that good? That's why you want to spend some time with that guy, right? Because he knows what he's talking about. All right? It's a picture of God's great plan of redemption for man. Folks, do not miss. It is a miraculous gift. You don't think it is? Think about it for just a minute. God takes two distinctly different people from two distinctly different backgrounds with two distinctly different personalities and makes them one. Who can do that? That's a God thing, isn't it? Don't minimize this thing. This is a miracle. Every time you go to a wedding, you're watching a miracle unfold in front of you. I mean, we sit back all the time and go, God, I want to see you do something amazing. Go to a wedding. I mean, God shows up big time in that. Because if he doesn't, they're in trouble. Bringing them together. Do you see God's framework? Can you pick up on what we're doing here? All right, it's his miraculous gift. He outlines it for us. I mean, let me just give it to you quickly. First of all, he produces marriage. Verse 18, it is not good for man to be alone. Really? I will make him a helper suitable for him. He's looking at man. He's already said man is good, right? Follow me. Man's good. Pinnacle of his creation. It's not good for him to be alone. I'm going to make him a helper suitable for him. Notice, too, when he makes the woman, get this, and we'll talk about this in a few weeks. He doesn't take from the top of his head, ladies, for you to lord over, right? Also didn't take a bone from his foot, dudes, so you can step on her. Side. Even. Equal. Does that make sense? Okay? That's how good God is. Man, isn't that good? I mean, let that resonate, man. That's amazing that God would do that. And he produces in his creative design, marriage, his active hand on marriage, making it happen. Then he provides, right, by making this helper suitable. Verse 22, right, think about it. This is what's going on. He's run all the animals by him, and he's naming them, you know, anteater, aardvark. You know, he's going right on through, all the way to zebra. And everyone's going by, amazing creations, all this stuff, boom, 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 all these things. And he's going, no. You know, he gets to squid, and he's going, ooh, no. You know, I mean, there's just nothing there for him that just makes him go, wow. Then he gives him some sleep, and he brings woman out of his rib. And he says that in verse 23, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my, translated, he didn't talk right away. There she is. For real. I mean, think about it. She's perfect. He's perfect. Right? They're in a garden. It's a tropical setting. I mean, it can't get more romantic. There was much joy on that thing. And so I think even before this is now bone of my bones, it was more like, wow. Wow. And he provides this girl. This lady, look at verse 22. The Lord God fashioned into a woman the rib which he had taken from the man, and he brought her to the man. There's a couple things that we got to take away from this here, is that there's this profound fathering that takes place, that God took the girl, raised her up, and provided her for the husband on this. Dudes, stop for a minute. Dads, if you've got a girl, this tells us something about our active play in our little girls' lives. We better be molding and shaping her heart and her mind about what she thinks about marriage. That's our play. And someday, we're the ones that are going to walk her down an aisle. Okay? We're going to walk her down. And that's no small thing. We think it's just a nice, romantic, fun walk. You know, we get it on camera and everybody cries a little bit. You know, and all that. You know, and it's, no. Man, that you're symbolizing something. Man, we blow it in marriage ceremonies, by the way. This is coming from a guy who does some, right? We blow it because we don't drive the picture home like we should. God brought the first bride down. That's exactly what you're doing, Dad. And that's why when in a rehearsal, and if you've ever been in one of my weddings, I've had to like chastise you guys, all right? Because Dad comes down with the bride, and you're just going, I'm getting married, man, right? I mean, you're stoked. Never mind the fact that that guy walking that girl down the aisle has only held her since she was this big. And you think you should just deserve to get the girl. And you know, this never fails. The dude's standing there. Dad comes down during practice. He just steps in there and grabs her hand. I'm like ready to smack him. It's like, dude, you got to wait. You got to wait, and you wait for this because he gives you her hand. And what it tells everybody who's there, including God himself, is that I trust this guy to take care of this girl, to provide a covering for her. Dad, we teach that. That's on us to teach that. To model that thing, all right? And then I tell the guy, too, hey, after Dad gives you the hand, you better be saying thanks. Like, for real. You just got the greatest gift anybody's ever given you on earth. Okay? Guys, as guys, we're a little slow sometimes. A couple other observations from this piece, so don't miss this, please. All right? It says that he made her, all right? He fashioned her, he made her, and he brought her to the man. There's a couple things here. Ladies, real quick, let God shape you, will you? Please? Let him shape your thinking. Not the culture, not your friends, not some magazine, not some blog article that you're reading. Let God shape you to be the woman that he wants you to be. Let him craft you on that. And guys, it says that God brought the woman to him. You are not a predatory animal. Please understand me on this, man. And I'm joking somewhat on that, but I'm not. You are not on. You're not prowling. And if you are, knock it off. God will bring her to you. Be the man worthy enough of her. He'll bring. And so you're going, well, wait a minute, Jeff. I mean, I already know all the questions. Stop. He'll bring her to you. You just need to be places where God shows up. Stop hanging out places where God doesn't go. Show up where he's at, and he's going to bring her. Funny how that'll work. Okay? God gets it. We're not necessarily the sharpest knives in the drawer. He knows we need a little help, dudes. We get it. All right? He'll be there for you. All right? This is what's going on here. All right? God provides on this thing. Beyond that, he speaks it into being. Verse 24, for this reason a man shall never leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. He pronounces it. He speaks it into existence here. It's implicit in verse 24. It's explicit in Matthew chapter 19, verses 4 and 5. We're not going to turn there. But Jesus himself gives God the credit for marriage. All right, marriage is God's thing, and Jesus drives that point home. On top of that, he performs the first wedding by taking the two flesh, and he joins them together to become one. He welds them together. Again, implicit here and explicit in Mark chapter 10, verses 8 and 9, where he tells us what God has put together, let no one split apart. Okay, let me tell you, that's sound admonition to stay away from breaking up a marriage. Okay? He performs that first ceremony. And folks, we need to understand, when a couple is exchanging their vows in front of God and consummating them later sexually, it's not a man or a woman or a pastor or a parent who's the active agent. It is God himself who's bringing them together. Man, let's grab that thing. Do we get this? This is God's framework. We don't define marriage. God has already defined it. We're fooling ourselves if we think that we can just kind of change a few words and it's okay. What are we doing? God is way invested in marriage. Okay? He's way involved. He's so much so he did the first one. Okay? And so we see his framework. God joins men and women together. He welds them together. He works the miracle that we see in a marriage ceremony. And folks, the world by and large doesn't know this, which is why marriage is treated so casually today. And Christ followers, unfortunately, often act as if they don't know this. We run around and go, this is my big day. Marriage ceremony is not your big day. It's God's big day. This is his thing. And on God's big day, you're getting married so that he can show the wonder of redemption, the beauty of the church, and he can put on full display the glory of his name. That's why we do marriage. His framework. That's the border. You know this as well as I do. When you build that puzzle, though, you need the corner pieces, right? To hold the frame together, right? And if you were like me as a kid, you always put one in your pocket, one of the corner pieces, so you could put the last piece in. Okay? I was that kid. That was me. Right? But the corner pieces that holds all this together, though, is God's fame. It's God's fame. This is what marriage is about. Marriage is about proclaiming God, his goodness, his greatness. Ultimately, Paul will talk about in Ephesians 5 that marriage is a picture of the redemption story of Christ and the church coming together at the marriage feast of the Lamb, Revelation chapter 4. Folks, this is absolutely imperative for us to get a hold of. Marriage is not primarily about you. Marriage is not primarily about your spouse. Marriage is not primarily about marriage. Marriage is primarily about God's glory. We have to see that. We have to grab a hold of that. Folks, at any point in time, we raise, even in our, in Christianity today, man, there are marriage weekends and marriage books and marriage retreats and marriage simulcasts because we're going to build strong marriages, and we make marriage the object. Marriage is not the object. God is the object of our marriage. Folks, anytime we raise up something that's secondary and make it primary, we are now idolaters. Even a great gift like marriage can become an idol. God is primary. God is primary. And if we make him primary, we'll have the best marriage we could ever imagine. If we make marriage primary, we're not going to have a great marriage, and we're going to miss God in the mix. Does this make sense? The cornerstone of marriage is God himself. His name, his glory. Marriage is a picture. Folks, we see this in Ephesians 5, where Jesus Christ came and he paid the most expensive dowry you could ever imagine, his own blood. He paid in his own blood to secure and purchase the right to have his bride, the church. We celebrate that. We remember that during communion. So you following me? You tracking on this? All right, hang in here with me. He pays that dowry to buy that bride, to form that covenant. And let me ask you this. When is Christ ever going to walk out on his church? Isn't that good? Think about that. Jesus is never leaving his church. Never going to walk out on his bride ever. Isn't that? That's glorious. This is the picture that we see. Okay, so what do we do with this? Where do we go? You know, as we started this thing, we talk about marriage. We lay a foundation piece here. I need you guys to walk out of here just being blown away by the miraculous gift that marriage is. That you're either experiencing now or you know that God has in store for most of you down the road. It's amazing, isn't it? So what do we do with this? I want you to go to Hebrews chapter 13. I want to look at just a few verses. We're going to wrap this thing up. We're going to sing in response to our great God this morning. All right? Folks, as we talk about marriage, as you turn into Hebrews chapter 13, think about this for a minute. When you get together, I mean, as Christ followers, we know that one of our callings in our life is that we're to proclaim the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, right? That we're supposed to share the gospel, right? Oh my goodness, there's like seven of you in this service who agree with me too. I mean, that's not a trick question, right? That's like fundamental Christianity, all right? If anybody ever says one of your purposes, share the gospel of Jesus Christ, just shake your head, all right? It's safe, all right? The fact is, how do we do that? How do we make that happen? Can I just tell you, by being married is one of the greatest demonstrations of the gospel that you can ever put in front of somebody. It's the greatest picture of redemption. All right? Folks, and in the day and age that we live in, the culture that we are encountering, that we rub shoulders with, and the culture that it will look like in 10 to 20 years, let me just tell you something. Folks who follow hard after Jesus and live a robust faith within their marriage are going to have opportunity all day long to talk about the goodness and the greatness of God. Okay? Just know that. Keep that with you, all right? But what do we do with this? Look at Hebrews chapter 13. Absolutely, when I ran into this a couple weeks ago, absolutely got fired up on this thing. Couldn't find enough people to talk about this, all right? Absolutely love the way that God does things, all right? Read it with me. Look, he says, "Let the love of the brethren continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by this some have entertained angels without knowing it. Remember the prisoners as though in prison with them, and those who are ill-treated, since you yourselves are also in the body. Marriage is to be held in honor among all, and the marriage bed is to be undefiled, for fornicators and adulterers God will judge. Make sure that your character is free from the love of money, being content with that which you have, for he himself has said, I will never desert you, I will never forsake you, so that we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper, will not be afraid. What will man do to me?" You've got this amazing passage in the book of Hebrews, right? And it's this passage that says, I mean, honestly, what it's calling us to do is salty. It's robust in its expression of being a Christ follower. And it's telling us here, it just gives us this list. It says, love other Christ followers, and love strangers, and love prisoners, right? And don't be in love with money, and trust in my promises, right? But right in the middle of these robust faith statements, he says, honor marriage. Kind of crazy, don't you think? What's that doing in there? But it's there on purpose. And he's saying, if you're going to live out your faith on this thing, if you're going to play as a Christ follower in the life around us, right in the middle of this, if you're going to live a radical, free, countercultural life, honor marriage. That's awesome that God would do that. He's saying to us, honor, hold up marriage is precious. How do we do that? What are some ways? And I'm going to throw these things out at you quick, and then we're going to sing, all right? The first is this. Don't confuse marriage, the term marriage. God gave us a definition of what marriage is. It doesn't matter what we redefine it to be. Okay? And now hear me on this. Please hear me. We like to rail, or we've been, mainstream culture looks at us as a bunch of homophobic individuals. Right, wrong, or otherwise. That's what they see us as. All right? Do not run around and hold homosexuality up as the unpardonable sin. Please, hear me. Because if that happens within this church, then we need to talk. Because it's interesting, if you go into Romans chapter 2, it talks about that, but then there's also this list of things like slanderers and liars, and you know, they're all kind of put together there. All right, so let's be careful here for just a minute, but with that being said, I want to say this as carefully as I can. We cannot confuse what God's already defined. We just got to be good about that, can we, please? We can't confuse that. No, please, don't run around and say that somebody doesn't have a relationship, because they do. Don't say that somebody doesn't have affection for or love towards somebody else, because they do. But we can't run around and move and slide on a definition that God has firmly put in place. We can't do that. And that will lead to some awkward and some tension-filled moments for us in the years to come. We need to be ready to walk into that with grace and truth. We need to be ready to play, but we can't confuse the issue. Okay? That's one way we honor marriage. Let me tell you another way we honor marriage. It says here in verse 4, for fornicators, or he said, the marriage bed is to be undefiled, for fornicators and adulterers will be, God will judge. Let me just say this too. God has given us a great gift. We're going to talk about it in about 6-7 weeks. He's given us this great gift of sex. And he's also defined how that's supposed to be used. Okay? And he defines it, adulterers, that's using sex outside of the context of marriage. He says, honor marriage by not doing that. Avoid that. Run away from that. Guard yourself from that. If you found yourself in that, would you confess that? Repent from that and come back to God. But he also talks about fornication. It's the same thing, but you're not married. You're playing fast and loose, and I'm looking at my high school and college kids on this thing, you know, on this, you know, not because like you're the only ones who ever struggle here or anything like that. All right, but the fact of the matter is, don't play fast and loose with a great gift that God's given you. You keep that thing. You hold on to that thing. And let me just tell you something too. Man, you don't owe that to anybody. And whatever kind of lame, stupid, you know, cheese ball line that somebody's feeding you, dude, run away on that thing. Do not settle. Do not settle. I said earlier, I mean, particularly for you guys, I mean, that aren't married yet at this point, man, do not settle on this thing. Because do you understand when I say that it's the second most important decision you're going to make on this earth? I mean that because not only is it affecting you, it's affecting your children, and it's affecting your children's children and your great-grandkids. A decision that you're making here on who you're going to marry, and you're going, well, but they're hot. So is hell. You know what I'm saying? Don't be doing that. Hold on to, man, and make sure. Man, let me just tell you this. Just because somebody raises the banner and says, oh, I love Jesus, I love Jesus. Oh my goodness, seriously? Maybe you do. Make sure that they really have some kind of genuine something going on. You know what I'm saying? Because if they're just kind of half doing going halfway right now, they're not going full board after you get married. I'm telling you that today. It's not happening. So don't settle on that thing. And don't play fast and loose on that thing. That's a gift that you hold back, all right? You got that? We got to do that. So to hold marriage in honor, all right, is we don't redefine it. We don't play fast and loose with the gift God has given us in sex. But here's the other thing, and I'll close with this, and we got to sing, all right? We got to practice in marriage. If we're going to hold this thing up in honor, we need to practice what Tim Keller calls gospel reenactment. We're going to practice gospel reenactment. Now, what am I saying here, all right? If marriage, as I've said, is from God, and it's a picture of the redemption story, what's at the core of the redemption story? Forgiveness, right? God sent Jesus down to provide a way so we could have access to him. He provided us forgiveness through his work and record on the cross, right? Okay? Married couples, you want to, like, hold marriage in high regard? Guess what's going to have to be, like, at the center of your marriage relationship? Forgiveness. And just about the time you're, like, done with the counter thing, you forgive again. And God is good to us to put us in that spot so we can practice, because on our own, we would never practice on our own gospel anything. But in a marriage relationship, you've got to practice gospel reenactment. You have to practice. And as we forgive, think about it, every time you forgive your spouse, what you're doing is you're holding marriage in high honor. You're doing it with your friends around you, and you're doing it for the kids who are watching everything that's going on. Let's hold marriage in high honor. Can we do that? Folks, today, my prayer, Matt, you and your team need to come. Hey, I hope, if anything, all I wanted to do today is to remind us that if we're going to get marriage, if we're going to be blown away by the profound nature of this, that we have to see God in marriage. I hope you've seen him this morning. I hope you see his framework for the way marriage is to be and to work. I hope that you can see that the drive is for his glory, for his fame. And folks, as we leave here, would you ask God as we sing, God, help me this week to hold marriage in high honor? Help me to do that this week. Let me elevate that thing for my good and for the glory of his name. Why don't you pray with me? Father, thank you for today. Thanks for loving us. Father, I pray that you would speak to us as only you can do. Change our view today. Father, again, we confess that we're part of another generation of people who do not hold marriage in high regard. Father, forgive us for that. Change us in that. Redeem our vision. And Father, my prayer particular this morning, I pray for each married couple that sits here this morning. Draw them closer together today. Help them to extend forgiveness. Father, maybe it's even for something that went down this morning. Help them to extend forgiveness this morning for their good and for the glory of your name. And Father, forgive us for the times that we try to build this puzzle of marriage outside of your borders. Change us in that. And Father, as we sing to you, receive great worship from us. And God, we want to tell you we love you. In the name of Jesus, amen.